Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Miracles unfold before you every day if only you have the eyes, your eyes open to see them, so says poet Kevin Cole. His latest collection is called Late Summer Plums. I have a copy in my hand. I have the poet in the studio, Kevin Cole. Welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thanks very much, Lori.
And also with us is Steve Boynt. He's with Scurf P Publishing. He joins us for this conversation not only because his house published Late Summer Plums, but we'll also talk about bringing books and poetry back to the forefront of cultural relevance. Steve, thanks for being here as well.
I'm glad to be here.
Kevin, let's start with you. This beautiful book, of course, which we expect nothing less from you,
Thank you. By now.
A celebration and honoring of the small, very often, from an inchworm to lunch by the Big Sioux River to what 6 o'clock in the morning looks like. Mm-hmm. Tell me why that is continues to be so important to you to write poetry about those delicate moments.
Well, I think one of the unfortunate things about becoming an adult is that you gradually lose that natural, innate curiosity about the world and wonder. Obligations, bills, presidential elections dull our senses. And even poets have to struggle, you know, to remind themselves to be curious and to look for the wondrous miracles that can happen in your own backyard. And so every part of my day is trying to find the significant and the seemingly insignificant. I think that's what most poets do. Is look for the significance in the seemingly mundane. Hmm. So whether it's in my backyard or a county park or a state park or walking along a fence line, I'm looking for those small things.
Every day, this is part of your life. Poetry is a part of your life every day.
Yeah, I talk to my students about living a poetic life, which doesn't necessarily mean writing a poem a day, although I think that's probably a pretty good idea. But a poetic life is seeing the world poetically. And that doesn't mean finding beauty all the time, necessarily. It can mean a lot of things, but it's being sensitive to everything around you and looking closely.
Hmm. What are some of the actions, sort of the daily habits to living a poetic life? Because that's intriguing.
Yeah, well, as I said, it takes work because so many things get in the way, and I certainly fail to do it myself at times. I try to give myself Friday afternoons to get away and to look closely, but my backyard is really, there's a whole section in my book of poetry, poems that are inspired by my backyard. It helps that I'm a native gardener, and so there's a lot going on. But simply being intentional about it, I think making it a habit of mind, a discipline, is one way you go about it.
What changes in your life and how you live and teach and write through that daily discipline? If I exercise every day, I get in better shape. If I do certain daily disciplines, things happen. What does this sort of daily discipline of a poetic life do to change you as a person?
Well, I don't know if it necessarily makes you a better person, a more virtuous person, but in terms of leading a more contented, peaceful life, it certainly does that. It helps you negotiate all of the challenges that we all face in our day-to-day lives, family, work, bills. It certainly has given me a more contented, peaceful life in that respect.
Mm. We're going to bring Steve Boynt into our conversation with Scurf P Publishing. We better start with what a Scurf P is.
Oh, it's a native plant to the prairie. And Hugh Glass, when he crawled across South Dakota after being attacked by a grizzly, lived off of scurf pea. Lewis and Clark made it a regular part of their diet on their journey.
So tell me about this company then. You're based in Sioux Falls?
We are based in Sioux Falls.
Not a vanity press.
Not a vanity press at all. So. One of the reasons I started scurf pea was that I was really disgusted when I write poetry myself. And when I was looking at publishing, every small press I ran into wanted me to pay some money or line up a bunch of people to buy the book before they'd even look at publishing my poems. And that struck me as a scam, you know, or at least close enough to a scam, I was uneasy with it. So I wanted to run a press the way they should be run, in my opinion, which was nobody ever pays a dime to get considered. I never ask what the market is for the book. Decisions are not made on marketing. Decisions are made on the quality of the literature. So
gutsy business plan.
Well, because it's a second job to me. So
yeah, yeah.
So I've got enough money from elsewhere.
We'll come back to that in a minute, but I think I'd like to hear a poem from Kevin, if we could. Would you be willing to read from Late Summer Plums for us today?
Certainly. I wrote this poem before I met Steve. It has Scarf P in it, so it makes a nice connection. But I wasn't cozying up to Steve by writing this poem. And this one's inspired by my backyard. Volunteer Zinnias. They arrived in early September, a couple of carefree mendicants sneaking through the untended plot of garden, their small blooms as bright as Saison's oranges. They joined gumweed, yarrow, and red-kneed scarf pea, slender, stiff horseweed, and sawtooth sunflower, as if to cheer them all through the dirge that is late summer. One cannot help but wonder about their origins, if as seeds they arrived on the gusts of last fall's winds, or with much less drama, through the gut of a nuthatch. But what do origins matter? What matters is the angle of late summer light, how it cuts across the garden, casting dichirico shadows, and the cirrus clouds whiplashed across the sky by the first northern wind, reminding us that all too soon everything will be sealing itself against the vandal. So I will leave the garden untended, let this chorus of unruly guests carry on, and in winter look for the tips of their frozen stalks through the banks of snow that drift up like bulwarks against one's soul.
If you're just joining us, Kevin Cole is the poet. Late Summer Plums is the book. Thank you for that, first of all. Throughout this book, many of the poems, you got to take a walk to do this writing. Tell me why that's important to you, sort of getting outside for your poetry.
In the epigraph, I quote Samuel Pepys from the Diary of Samuel Pepys, one of my favorite writers, and Pepys takes long, long walks. Darwin took long walks. Darwin's very influential in the way I see the world and look at the world. He and poets, of course, teach me how to look closely, but especially Darwin. Wordsworth, favorite poet of mine, takes long walks. A lot of poets walk. Famously, Wallace Stevens took long walks to compose his poems. Wallace Stevens and I are pretty apart in terms of sensibilities, but I think walking is important to the art of poetry. I'm sure it is to other genres as well, but it certainly is crucial to mine.
So what's the process of that like? Are you out looking for something, or are you just out walking?
Yeah, it's really about being out. And so something always happens. something always happens when I walk, whether it's in the city or out. Maybe it's a hawk grasping onto a snake. Maybe it's deer in rutting season. Maybe it's a skeleton, bones. I'm always looking for bones, skeleton of deer and shed antlers. And there's always something to find. It's an amazing place to be, East River.
That brings me to another thought that I had as I read this. This is really rooted in East River geography, and that is not as common as you might think. In fact, I want to say it's rare. I don't know that I've read a book that is so established in East River, South Dakota. Did you get that sense when you were writing it, that was worth putting a compilation together that really had those roots?
Yeah, I wanted the poems to be really local, really regional. I mean, all of these are inspired by only 15, 20 miles from my house, you know, a circumference of 15 or 20 miles, some in my own backyard. Instead of going for a national publisher, when I met Steve and Scarf P, I really wanted to go with him because he's the whole collection is rooted in the region. I'm actually from Corpus Christi, Texas. I grew up in the Gulf of Mexico. But when I moved here about 20 years ago now, the first bird I saw was a seagull, a ringbill gull. And I thought, that's the strangest thing I've ever seen, a seagull in South Dakota. And that sort of began my love of this region.
Steve, you've talked about the shallowing of the printed word.
Yes.
And how regional publishing can sort of address that and bring books back into its cultural relevance. We have to talk about that. What do you mean, a shallowing of the printed word?
Well, if you look at what a national publisher is able to do, they have to make a profit. They've got a huge machine to provide for. And so they dumb down the level of writing they want. Usually they say either seventh or ninth grade reading level. The topics have to be very mainstream because they have to reach a wide, wide audience to make money on the book. Because just the size of their operation doesn't let them do less. And regional publishers, on the other hand, are able, and small presses, even if they're a national press, are able to focus on high-quality literature with different reading levels than junior high, and get the material out because they don't have as big a machine to finance. Hmm. And that's one of the reasons, you know, I have to be proud of SCRFP, or, you know, I'd walk around embarrassed. So,
well, that's the other thing. You can meet the people on the street, too, whereas, you know, Random House, you're not going to bump into your author or one of your readers, most likely.
Right. And you know, it's important to... You know, for me, I try to set up our press so we always make less money per book than the author does. Hmm. You know, I just try to make it something where it's not driven by the market, because I've got the luxury of being able to set it up that way.
Design on Kevin's book is lovely.
Thank you. I did it myself.
And that's something that you take quite seriously, is the book design itself. I'm such a book design geek. People are going to get tired of me talking about the book design, but it really matters.
It matters a lot, and I've got the benefit of my wife, who's a professional graphic designer, and anything I put out has to get past her, and she's taught me a lot. And then Charles Luden, who's a local poet and very well known around here. By the way, he has a reading November 11th at Zanbro's Variety, 7 in the evening. But Charles ran his own press for a while, and he's a stickler for detail. And a lot of times I run my designs past him. He's got a very good eye. So between the two of them, we usually come out with some very, very strong books. I've heard that from a number of authors and many readers.
Let's pause for another poem from Kevin. Would you like to read something from the book Late Summer Plums for us, please?
Sure. This is the time of year when the milkweed is just about finished opening up the pods. And if you're like me, you love milkweed. You're out a lot this time of year looking for it. On milkweed. In early fall, when the afternoon light comes angling in like a startling memory, I like to walk a field looking for milkweed, to pick out the stoic stalks standing alone among the swirled swaths of grass and stands of blue-stemmed sumac, plum, and mullein. In spring, when turgid and green, the milkweed seemed inured to summer's work, but now bears ample marks of moths and monarchs. And its pods, once so tender and pliant, as elegant and supple as a doe's ear, are now silvered, bristled carapaces. But the milkweed still has her gifts to give, so I will sit down next to a stalk loaded with pods, pluck one, and pry it apart, run my finger along the furrowed ochre walls while marveling at the clump of brown seed with white hairs as soft as river silt. When the wind is right, I will raise up a pod, lift out the seeds with my thumb, and watch them drift across the sedge and brome, each a little song longing to be heard.
If you're just joining us, this is Dakota Midday, SDPB Radio. We're with Kevin Cole. His latest book is called Late Summer Plums. And also with us is Steve Boynt with SCRFP Publishing. Steve, tell me what you're looking for in books now. What's your sort of publishing process?
Well, to me, those are two different questions in a way. What I'm looking for is a really good book. I don't have a preset idea of what I want. To be honest, I generally don't myself appreciate poetry about disease, cancer fighting, that kind of recovery type poetry. But I've published my share of it. I had Bruce Roseland put out a book where that he submitted to me, and it was the story of his mother going from assisted living to the nursing home to the grave. And instead of being what I expected, it started out with a lot of angst about where this was going to go. It had no villains, no heroes, just people trying their best in difficult situations, whether it was the staff at the nursing home or his mother or him. And it ended hopeful, and it ended in a healing way. And I said, this is a really good book. People need to read this. So I gladly published that. Carl Grupp, who is a art professor emeritus at Augie, he came to me with a bunch of short stories, and I couldn't stop laughing as I read them. So I published that. I mean, we're open to more than just poetry. Right. In fact, we have a book coming out in the next 3 or 4 months. It's in the process right now of proofreading, where a former nun tells what it was like to live in a monastery. And it's fascinating. She left out any lurid details. It's just the story of people living in community trying to get along, which is itself weird and strange and difficult enough. So that's what I'm looking for.
Kevin, when you teach students, we got about a minute left. What are some of the first things that you teach them about poetry that they can take into their careers that are not poetry related, take into their wherever they're headed?
What I find is that somewhere between 8, 9, 10 years old, children lose their love of poetry as children. They just innately have it as kids. Kids love poetry. And something happens. So I consider my introduction to literature class sort of a reclamation project and bringing them back to poetry. So my fundamental task, and I take it very seriously, is bringing them back into the world of poetry.
Kevin Cole, the book is called Late Summer Plums. Steve Boynt, thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
We appreciate your time. Come back again.